Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, I'm sitting down with Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts at St. Cloud State University, Raymond Filippo, and Experiential Learning and Outreach Director, Dan Hoovy. We're talking about the 2015-2016 Creative Arts Series at St. Cloud State University, and how, in its second year, this innovative program is bringing the college and the community together for some incredible arts events. So guys, how about you introduce yourselves and we'll get rolling.
My name is Raymond Filippo. I'm the Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and the Executive Director of the School of the Arts.
And I'm Dan Hoovy. I'm the Experiential Learning and Outreach Director for the College of Liberal Arts and the School of the Arts.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we're talking today about the Creative Arts Series for the 2015-2016 season. This is the second time around that this has happened. It happened last year and very successful. And why don't you give us a little history about the, well, Creative Arts Series?
Sure. When we initially reorganized the university in 2010, that was the first time that the School of the Arts came into being. And prior to that, it was just all lumped into the College of Fine Arts and Humanities. So one of the things that Mark Springer, who's the dean, he and I really wanted to create an identity and start to think about ways that we can put the School of the Arts on the map, because if you don't have an existing entity, so to speak, people aren't going to necessarily know that it exists. And so we developed this notion of a creative art series to really highlight not only the good work that our faculty and students do on an ongoing and regular basis, but also we wanted to attract outside accomplished artists so that our students could really get firsthand experience in working with truly talented and highly regarded folks in the field. And so what we did is we have taken part of our funding within the school and devoted it to attracting some of these artists in the various fields, which include music, visual arts, well, theater, and then in film studies.
Mm-hmm.
So in those four areas. Mm-hmm. And what we then asked each of those program areas to do is to highlight what we're calling an internal event, which would happen regardless of funding. And then on top of that, we want them to go out and contact an artist out in the field somewhere. It doesn't matter where they're living or what their medium is, as long as there's an interest and that our students would glean some information and knowledge from them. And so we're heading into our second year. We've been able to, I think we had many successes last year, but we were able to build on some of our strengths and fix some of the smaller issues that we had. So we're really excited about what this is becoming.
Yeah, there's quite a few people coming into town too.
Exactly.
And you know, just like last year, it's kind of an amazing little thing that what we can bring in here, and you know, it engages the community, and it's really a neat program. Well, why don't we talk about some of these different artists that are coming in? The first one is Pablo Mojave Veglia, and Not So Alone. Now, he's once a professor here at St. Cloud State, and he's got an interesting instrument that he plays. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, he plays a Chilean-made cello, which apparently is unusual, and he comes from Chile originally, and a big part of his work is reflecting on his experience as a Chilean American through his music and just the experiences he brings to campuses and the students that he works with. So we're excited to have Pablo as the kickoff event for our series. He specializes in many different areas of music, he works electronic music into classical music. So it's a combination of styles, and so I'm interested just to see what that looks like, and I'm excited to see the live performance. He's also doing a performance the night before, so on September 8th, which will include some local musicians and also some of our faculty. So that's also open to the public.
If I could back up for a second as well,
sure.
I think one of the things that really distinguishes our art series from others is that we've asked the faculty in setting up these various performances and events that there's a public component, which is, again, open to, as you mentioned earlier, this notion of community engagement. That's very much at the front and center of this. But the second, the B part of it, is that each artist has to work with our students as well. And we do that because we feel it's tremendously important for our arts majors, in whatever discipline they may be in, that they have that experience of really seeing firsthand and learning from these well-regarded, well-known artists.
Well, yeah, it's more than just seeing a performance and being like, wow, that's neato. And then, but you actually have a class where they're interacting. And
exactly. And I think one of the things that we're hoping is that our students are really getting in there and they're able to pick the brain, so to speak, of these performers to say, what does this mean? Or how do you do this? Where does the inspiration from this come from? So they're really getting that experience. Of course, all of their professors have various experience in the arts and performing and creating. But here, there's an outside perspective. And as we all know, sometimes that outside perspective can bring another type of gravitas to the situation or understanding.
So, yeah, you know, it's like that's what really struck me the last time that Dan and I talked was that kind of aspect of this program. Yeah, we have these people coming in and sometimes we don't know who they are. I didn't know who Pablo was, and there's a video up on the Creative Arts Series website at stcloudstate.edu, and it's not just a cello. It's some interesting stuff.
Right.
So it's this, people are doing things which are just kind of, I mean, they're kind of crazy, you know.
I think that's a really intriguing aspect of what we're trying to do through this series. We could put all of our eggs into one basket and we could say all of our funding is going to one performer, for example, and then that would be it. But what we're really trying to do is bring in this eclectic grouping of folks who have varying perspectives, not only through their medium and their process, but it really, I think, allows our students to see a variety of different kinds of art in its various forms.
Yeah, definitely. And there's, kind of moving on to the next event, some of this stuff is very timely as well. You've got Tim Miller coming in on September 30th, a theater performance artist, and he's going to be talking about his identity as a gay man and throughout, you know, what does it mean for his life, his art, and everything, you know, which makes up who he is. And, you know, now we've just had the marriage equality and various issues with, you know, being gay or lesbian or transgendered or, you know, all these things, they're still going on. So this is a very timely thing. How did he get brought into this, or how did this come about?
And this is another aspect of the Creative Arts Series that we like to highlight, is the interdisciplinary nature of the performances, or the intentionality behind picking performers. In this case, Tim Miller is also being brought by our Communication Studies Department, and Professor Tammy Spry is leading the performance and the details, or the setting up everything with Tim Miller. And so our Communications Department is working with our Theater and Film Studies Department. So this is really a combination of disciplines, and something that we think is really important with these events, that a college education isn't just about learning one discipline. It's about bringing all the different liberal arts and whatever sciences into your education, and then looking at whatever is presented to you with all of those lenses versus just one field of study. So so Tim Miller really exemplifies that interdisciplinary nature or importance that we're trying to bring with this series.
And I think that also really folds well into what we have within the college and school's strategic plan, which is we value diverse and divergent voices. So it's important to us to have a real wide array of different kinds of artists representing different backgrounds and trying to, as Dan said, bring in folks who might challenge the perceptions that some of our students and community members may have. So that's all folded into what we really value in the college and the school.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and we think about just what is art. You know, it's something that is going to, well, challenge. You know, it's going to be, it's not going to make you exactly comfortable, or it might, you know.
Right, right.
And it just kind of, it depends on the perspective.
And I think, too, another thing that Dan said that's really important is that interdisciplinary nature. I think one of the most sort of watched and followed folks from our series last year was Tristan Parrish, who really brought forth music and technology and really focusing on one-bit technology as it relates to composition, music composition. And, he, you know, he had the his installation set up in the iSelf building. It was, there was a camera on it 24 hours a day so people could monitor the progress as this chip produced this intricate drawing and so that's the sort of thing that we're really hoping to do, and we're reaching across our various colleagues in the dean's offices throughout the university to see what ways can we reach out and tap into the various expertises and disciplines across the university.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on to another musical group, November 2nd and 3rd, Ensemble U. Can you tell us about these guys?
Well, this is an interesting story. A music professor, Scott Miller, was on a Fulbright scholarship to Estonia. I believe it was last fall.
Correct.
And through his work there and his time in Estonia, he connected with this ensemble group of Estonian musicians and collaborated with them on a piece of music and presented them coming back to St. Cloud State to share their unique style of music and their work with Scott back to our students. And so there again, it's our professors' experience, in this case internationally, and they bring that back to our students and our students' education. So this group, I'm really excited. I've never heard Estonian music. I don't know that many of our students have either. So I think it's just another example of how we're leveraging our faculty's expertise and experience and scholarship to broaden our students' horizons and the community of St. Cloud.
Yeah, something new. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then we've got another musical event on November 15th, Music at St. Mary's. There's going to be an afternoon show there, 2 p.m. it looks like. And this is featuring various, concert choirs. It was the St. Cloud State Concert Choir, the Chamber Choir, Men's Choir, Women's Choir. And now this is at the Cathedral of St. Mary's downtown St. Cloud. I imagine this performance might be a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? Not experimental.
Right. I think that's very true. And the series is a combination of experimental or different music and performances, and but then also some very long-term, highly successful events, such as the Cathedral at St. Mary concert. And this is sold out every year. It's packed. It's a community favorite. It's one of the most dynamic shows we put on as a School of the Arts. And it's highly successful.
And it really highlights, I think, the great work of our vocal instructors, Dr. Matt Farrell, mm-hmm. Dr. Catherine Verilli, Dr. Hugh Givens, and they all just do a tremendous job. I'm probably forgetting someone in that mix, but certainly those three jump out at me. And again, as Dan said, this is a really popular event. It's an annual event and draws widely and is very much anticipated, I think, by the community at large.
Yeah, I imagine this probably be a pretty powerful performance. I've seen the a long time ago the Symphony Orchestra did Beethoven's Ninth, and it came to that, and they had the choir there.
Right.
Wow. I mean, some of these things are, you hear about it, you can maybe watch it on TV or YouTube or something, but there's something about being in that enclosed space.
Right.
You know, a cathedral is built for a very specific reason, and there's, they're big and well, somewhat echoey, if you will.
But the acoustics are certainly powerful, right?
Yeah. So you get that going on with, a lot of voices, and I bet that's just incredible. You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, where today we're sitting down with Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Raymond Filippo, and Experiential Learning and Outreach Director, Dan Hoovy. And we're talking about the 2015-2016 Creative Arts Series and all of the community events that are going on. And as we get back into it, we go into 2016. Okay, the next thing, well, jumping into 2016, the Kiel Visual Arts Center, beginning in January, Sarah Pop. Is that how I'm saying that correctly, I think?
Sarah Pop. As far as I know, that's correct.
Yeah.
It's either that or...
I would say Sarah Pop.
Sarah Pop. Sarah
Pop. As in series,
maybe? Yeah, I don't know, I tell you the truth.
I think we're all taking stabs right. at this one.
Yeah. From what my understanding is, they're visual artists. They work in paper. And they're going to do a site-specific installation, which I believe means that the artists come and see what the site looks like and then build the installation based on the surroundings. This is, of course, through our art department. And again, here we have an international presence in our series. Mm-hmm. And we're excited to see what the installation looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're from based in Montreal, Quebec. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the picture you got off the website definitely looks you know, somewhat abstract, but at the same time, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, what would be an album cover, you know, that kind of thing is right. So you can definitely see that, and there's a certain power to that too, and that's kind of neat, where they have no idea what they're doing before they show up,
right?
And they just look at it and then they got to figure it out, and there's a lot of, you know, the creative stuff where it's like, well, I don't know what we're gonna do until we are there, and definitely a neat thing. Okay, the next one coming up in February 22nd through the 24th. Now I'm really looking forward to this. I saw this and I was very excited because I've seen him when he's coming to town before. Godfrey Reggio and the Kotze Trilogy. Koinonis Kotze is by far one of my favorite movies. Just, I ran into it when I was a kid in the 80s, and I had no idea what I was seeing. Could you give us a little history on this? And
sure.
There's he's got a new film showing up too,
right,
which I am
right.
completely stoked about.
Well,
so.
And this again is another interdisciplinary event. We have a professor from our mass communications department, Mark Eden, who is spearheading the visit by Godfrey. And he's also including some grant money that he sought and was awarded for this. So we're really excited about other people looking at the work we're doing and validating it through the grant award process. And so the week, this is a week event, and the first 3 days, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of that week, we'll be showing the Kotze trilogy, one show each night, and followed up by a large viewing of his most recent movie,
Visitors, I believe.
Visitors, thank you.
Yeah.
I thought it was on here. Visitors, and just watching the clip of Visitors, it is unlike anything I've ever seen. It's visually stunning, and I believe the showing is going to be in 4K, which is another technical aspect to this particular performance. And then the following day, so on Friday, well, I should back up. The Thursday show will be at the Paramount Theater, so we're trying to connect with our community partners and work in venues that really work well for not just our campus community, but also the greater St. Cloud community. And then the following day, on Friday, we're having a master class with Godfrey in Stewart Hall. And there our students and the community at large will be able to engage with this master filmmaker and get some really great insights and, you know, crafts of the trade for movie making. So this is a really exciting event for us. And again, we're just pleased that we have this collaborative spirit with our departments and the whole campus community, really.
I just have to say a couple of things to expand on what Dan just mentioned. The first is, it's really, we're very grateful to Professor Mark Eden in the Mass Comm department, who really did take the initiative. And the Creative Arts Series, you know, we typically, it's confined to just those departments and programs within the School of the Arts. Mass Communications isn't in that. And so he approached me and others to see if we would be supportive. And so he went out and he worked very diligently in writing a grant to the Central Minnesota Arts Board, which we're also very grateful for their financial backing in this venture. And then, of course, Bob Johnson at the Paramount, who has graciously allowed us into the space, and we're very excited about not only that opportunity, but also future opportunities. We think it's really important that we not have all of these arts events just remaining on campus, but in fact, we need to go out into the community. That's why I think the concert at St. Mary's is really wonderful. This Godfrey Reggio presentation at the Paramount will be fantastic. So really tremendous, I think, vibrancy. And I think what we're trying to do is build a bridge that's really both ways. That's, you know, building our bridge from the campus to downtown and really letting the community know that it's a two-way street. We want them to be involved with us, and we should be involved with the community. And that's what this is really allowing us to do.
Absolutely. And also, this will bring people in as well from elsewhere. Not saying that, you know, the other events aren't going to do
this
that.
This will definitely be more high profile.
Yeah, right? This is definitely going to be a more high profile thing. And we'll be getting a lot of folks up from the cities and everything for this.
Right.
So, yeah. Speaking of profiles, the next event coming up, April 19th through the 23rd, production of Hair the Musical. For those unfamiliar with Hair, based in the 60s, different dynamics back then, but traditionally, sometimes, this performance has been performed all nude with the actors. So, not sure how is Jeffrey Bleem behind this one,
or
yes. Okay. So, you know, he's got the little asterisk there for mature audiences, but
read into that what you will.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that when we learned that Hair was going to be included in the series, one question we had: okay, so how will this be presented? And the answer was, well, it's educational theater, and so it's really about what our students are comfortable doing. So obviously this version of Hair may be slightly different than what's been out there in the past, or it might be the same, and that's part of the creative process. So mm-hmm. I think we're allowing our students to experience a production like this, and of course it's about their education, so we'll see where that leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely that should be an interesting experience for sure. For sure. And then, let's see, we've got a couple other student events that are coming up towards the end of the year, towards the end of spring semester there. We've got the 50th annual Juried Student Art Exhibition, and then the Student Film Festival, kind of back-to-back almost at the same time. Mm-hmm. So give us a quick little rundown about what we expect to maybe see there.
Sure. Well, this is, as you mentioned, the 50th year for the Juried Student Art Exhibit, and every year we bring up a curator from the Twin Cities, and they look at the submitted student work, select the works that work best or fit into their vision for the show, and we also offer many scholarships at that event. It's really exciting. We're not sure what we're going to do this year for the 50th anniversary or juried show, but we'll do something pretty amazing.
We have a 50th anniversary.
Right, yeah. It doesn't happen very often. So.
And it's one of the things that we're trying to work on is, because this really is, it's a curated show of the best student work. And we do have it open. The doors are open in the Kiel Gallery for it. And what we want to do is open that up. And we want to potentially even take those pieces, and this is early stages thinking, and possibly move them out into a gallery space, perhaps downtown, if only for a short time, so that we get more people to see the really wonderful work our students do. So this being the 50th anniversary in particular will be very special. So There will be more planning and more talks as we approach the date, but it's always, I think, for those of us who have our offices in the Kiel Visual Arts Center, we're always exposed to really interesting and provocative student work. But this is really the best of the best, and it's very good, and it's very gratifying for all of us who get to see it and be a part of that.
I always tell people that I work in the best building on campus because I just never know what wonderful piece of visual art will show up on the wall next to my office. And just to hear the students talk about it in the hallways is great.
Definitely. It's not like any other building, I would imagine. Yeah.
And a similar kind of ethos, I think, guides the student film festival.
Right.
We have a relatively new faculty member who really does a great job with our students. And we're excited. By the way, his name is Ilya Simakov, and he is really turning out some wonderful, helping the students really tune their creative process and come up with short films that are interesting, provocative, and we've had great success with this, and we'll expect that the same will continue.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, and then wrapping up the season, April 26th, Her Story, Her Song. What can you tell us about this one?
Well, this again is a long-standing, highly successful concert, and it's more than a concert, however. It's a service learning project in that the choir puts on this concert, or the performers, and they pick a community partner to work with and partner with to help support their mission. In the past, it's been Clara's House. I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but every year they select a community partner to work with, and they learn from that community partner, and it influences the music they select. So it's more than a concert. It's a fundraiser, and it's also a way to give back to the community and engage with community issues.
Right. I think it's a, mm-hmm. I would term it a celebration of mm-hmm. these great community organizations that we have. So again, this feeds right into very much our mission in the college is to engage with our community and to provide service where it's needed.
Yeah, that concept of service learning, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, really that, on the surface, you would think, how would that tie into the arts? But right. It actually does quite well, right. You know, so just expressing a story about something. And then, you know, there you go. Now people know about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Awesome. Well, it looks like to be a great year. Once again, all this stuff is available. Some of these things are free. Some of them have a little bit of a cost. And you can find it at stcloudstate.edu under the Creative Art Series. You can just search for it that way. It pops right up. You can't miss it. So
we wanted to unify, and I think that's what we're trying to bring unity to the School of the Arts. And one of the way to do it is through a series like this, to say this is an intentional, even though there's not necessarily a thematic string tying all 8 events or 9 events together, there is an intentionality around these are specifically events that we are going to highlight, that we're proud of, that we're opening up to the community, that our students are invested in. So that is the theme, and that is the structure that we want to tie to our school.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I think it's going to work out. It's going to be a great year for the arts.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And once again, we've just finished up talking with Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Ray Filippo, and Experiential Learning and Outreach Director, Dan Hoovy, in regards to the 2015-2016 Creative Arts Series at St. Cloud State University. For more information on the series, you can find it at St. Cloud State University's website at www.stcloudstate.edu/stoa/creative. Or you can find links on our website at kvsc.org under the Area Events tab, and also under this story under the Podcast and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota link. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.